Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to House Plans. I'm not really sure if that dramatic pause at the beginning was a good sign or a bad sign. It could have been a moment of silence as we try to recognize how bad this show's going to be, or it could have been a dramatic pause about how good the show's going to be. What do y'all think?
I tell you, we had a lot of opinions before we went on the air.
We did, but we always do, right? I'm not sure if you search, you could find three more opinionated people.
Saturday morning is a great time for opinions.
And we got them.
Well, you know what they say about
nobody's listening. Yeah. You know, it's great.
Well, you know what they say about opinions. You can't repeat it on
the air. That's true. Everybody's, I'm just glad I can hear now.
Everybody's got one. Listen. You hadn't been listening forever. It's been at least 8 years, maybe 12.
Ask YD. He'll tell you it's been longer than that.
Every time I think about him, when you say YD, you talk about your dad, talking about JD's dad, I can remember. Now, remember, no cell phones, no texting. JD's prom story.
JD comes. JD has go down that road.
I love the story, though, JD. We got to share it with our listeners. JD goes out to the car after prom. There's a sticky note in the steering wheel that says, "Don't even think about it."
That's a great idea.
There's actually one on the handle and one on the steering wheel in case one of them fell off.
Yeah, the backup.
That's what you call proactive.
Yeah. Yes.
Proactive.
That's real parenting.
Yeah.
It was. I'll tell you.
It wasn't even fun, though, was it?
No,
now, did you ignore it or did you?
You know, I was young and dumb and everything else, you know. I probably did a little bit of ignoring, but the whole time it was in the back of my mind.
Throttled back a little.
I had a good moral basis that was set up in my life.
But versus today, you look down and go, "What's my daughter doing at McDonald's?
Yeah, exactly.
Who is she? What?
Yeah, exactly.
She's at McDonald's." I mean, you can look down and see where they are, and they like, "I'm tracking you, and you better know it."
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly right.
I mean,
oh my gosh!
I tell you what. Well,
it's a whole body of knowledge. Who's parenting the children today? Is it their iPhone or is it their parents?
Oh, good discussion.
Yeah, it's the iPhone.
It's the iPhone. Now they're both trying to dominate. Okay,
yes.
The iPhone, the cloud is trying to parent your child, and you're trying to parent your child. But my guess is they spend more time being parented by the iPhone.
Yeah, they spend
YouTube.
More time being worried about what people they don't know say.
I thought this was a real estate show.
It is. we're trying to get into parenting.
Yeah, we are.
Well, listen, if you do have a real estate question, buying, selling, anything at all to do with real estate, we're here to take your calls and comments this morning, 866-442-7553, or you can hit us up on the text line 71307, 71307. I realize it's a little late in January, but we all thought it would be a good idea to have a 2019 year-end review to see pass-out scores, see how we did.
Keith and his colleagues have been busy.
It was a good year. Another record year, actually.
Another record year, yeah, for Greenville. What was this, five
fourth,
in a row?
Fourth in a row.
Four in a row?
Yep.
Yeah, amazing, really. Really amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, we started out January, and everybody in this booth was white as that sheet of paper going down 20%. Uh-oh, it's over. That's usually JD's line. It's over.
It's over. Yep, turn the lights off.
I tell you, it was kind of sobering because we didn't, you know, we were not crazy busy, but we didn't see a 20% decrease in January. And Keith, now we sit here and look at December, and December was a 20% increase. You know, number of solds in December was 1,184, which is 14.4% over what it was last year. So 19.4%. So yep. We made up a bunch of ground in December.
Yeah, I saw a real estate agent that we do a lot of business with at the GNC down there. And I asked her, I said, you know, how's your business going? How's your business unit? And, you know, did you have any slowdown in December at all? And, you know, she was very adamant and said, you know, it just hasn't slowed down.
Yeah.
you know, usually we have that middle of November to middle of January retreating. Everybody kind of, you know, takes stock of the year and gets ready for the new year, and there's not much going on. But that was not the case.
No, most people got off the plane from their Christmas vacation and got into the car with their broker.
Yeah, started looking at some property. Well, listen, we are going to head into our first break of the day. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker. We're here to answer your real estate questions about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate. You want to reach us on the phone, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us up on the text line, 71307. That's 71307. We're talking a little bit about the December and 2019 numbers, the health of the market. JD is going to have a rate update for us. And, of course, we'll cover any other topic you want. Just get on the phone. Give us a call.
We'll teach you how to raise your kids, right?
442-7553. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson and Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark here with The Buyer's Broker. We are glad that you are tuned in today. If you've got a question or comment about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd love to hear from you at 866-442-7553. That's a toll-free number. Feel free to give us a ring. Or if you'd like to remain anonymous or maybe not call in, we also have the text line that's available at 71307. So you can text your question or comment, and we'll talk about it on the air for sure. So, yeah, great start to the year, and you know, I will say this, ad running into the show, 331 home. That is our phone number during the week at County Bank, and you know, a lot of people asking about that equity saver, and we had several listeners call this week about refinancing, and you know, the refinance market, Chris, is still very active.
And there was a little tick down, right, this week?
Rates actually ticked down a little bit, yeah. So we're starting to get close to that 3.5 number. Wow. That I've got several listeners.
Oh, you got several people waiting on it,
yep,
right?
So we got
think about that. People are waiting for interest rates to hit 3.5.
Yeah.
And likely will. Or there's a
Yeah, the 10-year treasury on Friday, obviously it trades overnight as well, but the 10-year treasury finished the week at 1.681.
Down from about 1.8.
Down from 1.74. Yeah. So, you know, that is an indication of, you know, better rates, you know, and so I would expect. And, of course, if you want to look at where it's gone, you know, over time, I think the recent bottom was somewhere in the 1.4. So that'll give you some type of perspective. But, you know, those are solid numbers compared to where you were a year ago. Now, think about this. A year ago, you were at 2.7.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
So rates have improved. And, of course, as any type of strife occurs right now, the virus in China, 2 confirmed cases in the U.S., you have people worried about the financial situation. And so they buy treasuries.
Safe money.
And when they buy the treasuries, it drives the price down.
Yep.
And
the yield.
Yeah, it drives the, yeah, but, yeah.
The price goes up,
yeah,
right?
the yield goes down. And as that happens, it tends to have a positive impact on mortgage-backed securities, which is what we're based on. And so it's a benchmark to watch. And so I would say that 3.5 is something that may be on the way. And I would tell listeners, you know, if you do want to be on Rate Watch, all you got to do is send JD an email, you know, with a copy of your mortgage statement or just a simple email that says, watch it, call me when it hits. And
well, I'll tell you, Chris, yeah. We had two situations where I had listeners of the show or former clients that were interested in really the 3 5/8 was kind of their magic number.
Yep.
We hit both of their particular situations with loan to value and score and everything. We hit that 3 5/8 number this week. And on both deals, we got an appraisal waiver. So they were able to refinance without having to
do an
appraisal.
Makes it easy.
Oh, man, it makes it, yeah.
And saves a little money.
We did the lender credit, no lender fees. So really the only thing that they're going to have is just, you know, whatever the attorney's charging them to close the loan. So,
and for the young couples, the people that the new formation of households,
yes.
It gives them more purchasing power, these interest rates. And, of course,
sure.
the millennials have never seen interest rates above 5%.
Right.
That's right. And I remember when they hit 5 and you got 5, what are you talking about? And, you know, some of our competitors, Keith, what they did is started changing the way they price loans. So they would quote 4.875, but then they would charge a point origination.
Yeah.
And by the way, many, many years ago, that was standard.
Yeah,
standard. You quoted with 1% origination,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. 15 years ago.
Yeah, and so that's not unusual, but, you know, the thing about it is you need to make sure you understand the math. The rate is not the only driving force, and, of course, the lower the rate, generally the better off you are, but it depends on how long you're going to be in the property, what the costs are, and where the break-even is.
So the big box might run an ad with an interest rate.
Saw one the other day, 2.75 on a 15-year, and in the small print, you know, it said
60 loan to value, 800 credit score,
and a point and a half in discount.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that point and a half in discount could also include a point in origination. So really, you're paying 2.5 points. Doesn't sound like much, but do that math on a $200,000 loan. 2.5 points, $5,000.
Well, and I'll tell you this: in many of my clients will know that I always are trying to talk them out of not paying points. Trying to talk them out of origination
because
fees.
Of the math.
Well, because of the math, and because most of the time people are going to be moving in 5 to 7, 8, 9 years at the most. And also, what could happen? I mean, you know, they may cash out, they may refinance, yes. And cash out. So sometimes it's not even a driver of how long they're going to be in the house,
yeah,
but how long they're going to be in the loan.
Yeah, and we say that all the time. We say, well, how long are you going to be in the house? And JD makes an excellent point. That's really not what matters,
right?
It's how long are you going to be in the loan? How long is this loan going to fit your particular circumstance? So if you got a 16-year-old and you haven't saved any money for college, but you still plan on paying for it and you got tons of equity, chances are in 3 or 4 years, you're going to be cashing out to get some college money.
And especially when rates are where they, you know, if a lot of people are doing equity line, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, even prime's at 4.75 now. You're going to pay a higher rate, obviously, on a second mortgage than you would on a first. You're
absolutely
going to be much better off refinancing and you know, doing a lower fixed rate, you know, and cashing out your equity than you would be doing a second.
And statistically, people are in their homes a little bit longer than they used to statistically. But in our market, you've got such a large corporate market. I had a meeting this week with a floor client, and we were talking about this specific subject where – you get that phone call, you know, you think you're going to be 3 to 5 or 5 to 7 in the job that you're in.
Yeah.
And I've had, last year I had a client was in the job less than a year.
Yeah, and they say, hey, we have this excellent opportunity for you in Mumbai. And as my old boss used to say, listen, you don't have to go to Mumbai, but 2 weeks from now, that's where your check will be.
Yeah, correct.
And
or
if you don't go
to Mumbai, yeah. You might be going to China.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. And, of course, the text line is open, 71307. That's 71307. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we were talking a little bit about the numbers, guys. And as Keith pointed out, fourth year in a row in the Greenville MLS for number of solds. We had 14,574 for the year 2019, which is a 6.5% increase over 2018, and that's after getting off to a very slow start.
Yeah, and the original record number was 07, which was 10,388 transactions. I could be off a couple there.
Yeah.
But before the downturn, we were at 10,004.
Yep.
10,004. Then we were down until June of 11.
Yeah.
And
so
we
the
started
market
back
is...
up, and we reached record levels, I guess, in 15.
Yeah, and so the market's up 40% from 2007.
Yes, in terms of number of transactions.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, we've also seen price appreciation, which is good and bad. People that own love it. People that are buying don't. But median price in the Greenville market, $216,745, up for the year over last year, 5.7%. That's really healthy.
It is. And, you know, we could dissect that. I would tell you that a large portion of that was in, well, statistically, the largest price increases occurred in the downtown and in-town markets, which are Augusta Road, North Main, Lawrence Road, that just outside of downtown.
Yeah, it's right. Funny, Keith. But I met with a mortgage insurance representative that lives, somewhere in northern Columbia, Maryland. And she stayed downtown. And so we had lunch, and she's like, wow, I think I might just stay. You know, her husband passed a couple of years ago. She's an empty nester. She was nice. And so she ran into a couple on the street, and she said, I really like this condo right here. How much is it? And when the people said, well, it's $795, she said, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, there's a little sticker shock there, because she's like, that's higher than it is in Columbia, yeah. Maryland.
How about at Rhett Street, at the Rhett Street project, 2,200 square feet for $1.38 million?
How much is it?
$1.38.
There you go. That sounds like
so. Better JD have some,
and I would
better,
have,
better have some
together.
Down payments.
Yeah.
We could live there. Just
together.
be a two-family residence.
Yeah.
I pay for half, you pay for half.
Well, that'd still be pretty expensive.
It would.
But the number of transactions in that downtown in-town market is not as large. But in the suburbs, you wouldn't experience quite that much appreciation typically, because you'd be competing against other production builders, and you would have more transactions.
Sure.
So you have to really drill down on that median price to know where it affects you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, listen, we got a caller. Why don't we go? We got our Spartanburg
connection, right?
Connection on the line. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah,
we're doing great.
So we got the Spartanburg numbers as well. We were going to talk about those, but I know you know the market probably as good as anybody does over there. And again, you guys were up about 6.4% year over year for the good median price, up about 6.5%. So a good year in Spartanburg as well.
That's what I was going to call you about that. Yes, we had an incredible year for our company, you know, KW. We had a you know, the Spartanburg had 5,635 homes sold 2019, and we did practically a quarter of that.
Wow. 25% market share, that's pretty strong.
Well, I'm on all the companies. You got the non-members for the MLS, and I would say maybe a fifth, not a quarter, but a fifth of the actual market share. Yep.
Very
y'all,
nice.
Robert, y'all need a little competition over there, don't you?
And I'm getting competition, yeah. And, you know, unlike Greenville, you have here the average price now went up also almost 9%. And now it's a home here, average price will be $186,000.
Well, you know, one thing that I looked at, Robert, was, you know, we tend to focus a lot on the median home price. And one thing that jumped out at me when I was looking at y'all's numbers is year over year, 179.9, 6.5% increase in the median. But more importantly than that, if you look at December over December, it was 189, yes, up 14%. So that might lead you to believe that there's going to be some continued appreciation moving forward at a larger rate. And I would wonder what you thought about that.
Depreciation, yes, because we got new construction galore. I mean, it's really new construction is coming very strong, and people are obviously looking for, you know, better amenities, better things that are provided by the new builders, and that's one thing. But all in all, affordability is a problem for some people because homes become more expensive, but the rates, not the rates, but the income be still the same, so
sure.
Affordability reduces. So that's one thing that we are contemplating, and that's where the medium price range in the Spartanburg County has been an opportunity.
Yeah, and you talk about that. You know, one of the things that the MLS reports on, Keith, I know you watch this too, is the affordability index, which is basically a mathematical problem between current interest rates and current income in a particular market, and it shows what the affordability is based on that math. And in 2018, you know, up in Spartanburg, it was 140, and now it's 132, which means that the affordability, as it goes down, it means it is less affordable for somebody to buy. Now, if you take that 132 and compare it to Greenville, in Greenville, it's 109. So much tighter market in Greenville than it is in Spartanburg, but you can see that Spartanburg's going the other direction.
Yeah, and I think the point you started with, Chris, is that probably if we looked at fourth quarter in Spartanburg, you would see some momentum gathering, whereas in the first and second quarters of this past year, if I remember correctly, it was not quite as robust.
Yeah.
So Spartanburg's in line for a very good year for 2020.
I would say so.
Well, listen, Robert, we appreciate it. We got a bottom of the hour break coming up. We appreciate you calling in and talking Spartanburg with us a little bit. I hope you have a great week.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks. You know, last thing I'll hit, we got 20 seconds here. Look at the days on market in Spartanburg, dropped 16.5%.
Yeah.
That's a houses are flying off the
market. That's kind of that trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That Keith was just talking
Absolutely.
About.
Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to House Plans, JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back talking real estate right after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Got about half the show, about 30 minutes left. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout. We're here to answer your questions, calls, comments, help keep you out of the ditch. 866-442-7553. And if you want to text us, it's 71307. That's 71307. If there's been a train wreck, we've probably seen it. So we can try to at least give you our experience and advice. I mean, we've only been doing this a little while. How long are you in, Keith?
31.
Turn your mic on. 31 years. I started.
You still hadn't learned how to turn the mic on.
Well, that's we were talking about real estate experience, not radio experience. And then, of course, I've been in it since I graduated from Clemens University in 1987. Think about that.
Yeah, I'm behind all y'all.
I am
see,
so
what's 19 and 9?
Well, it's because you're the youngest
20.
Person.
No, this is 20.
You're the youngest one in the room.
Yeah, I'm 29 years.
And you're old, so what does that make us?
I know, and feeling older by the minute.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Keith, these are we're now, is this in Manhattan? Where are these?
We were just looking at downtown condos, and Keith has a customer that said he got 1,000 square feet downtown condo, and he said he wouldn't sell it for less than $600 a foot. I was like, what?
Yeah,
these are 1.3 and 1.4 mil.
When you talk about these numbers, typically what drives all this is scarcity. There's
sure.
supply. There's
sure.
no supply. So if you've got something that's unique and can't be replaced,
Yeah.
Then it commands those kind of prices. Yes.
They ain't making no more dirt.
I love my wife. If we hadn't got married, I would be a millionaire.
The next line in that is, but I love this bar.
Well, I would have bought some of these things back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, back in 2006.
Yes.
Or no, 2008. Maybe. Listen, we do have our first texter, guys. Let's get into this real quick. We have a gentleman that has 2.7 acres downtown, and the comment says that the part of the property is adjacent to a park, and he makes a comment about, you know, the city has taken a little bit of that. I don't know if he's talking about eminent domain or if he's talking about there's an easement and they cleared his lot to make it look pretty. Don't know. But the question is, you know, what's it worth? And, of course, the first thing Keith said is, you know, downtown or in that area or practically any area is street by street. Right, Keith?
It is, and it depends on where it is. And when we talk about valuations, particularly if it's just land, 2.7 acres, even if it's got a house on it, that's a lot of land downtown.
Downtown, yeah.
That could be a multifamily property.
Yeah, it's a note that it's on the Reedy River.
Yeah, and so what you have to start with is what is the highest and best use. If it's a single-family dwelling, if that's the highest and best use and you can't get the zoning changed, and it's very, very scarce. We were just discussing scarcity. It's irreplaceable sometimes. This is the only piece of property like this that there is, and it commands very, very high pricing. Now, that doesn't mean there's a large pool of buyers looking for it.
Well, it's just like those condos we were just looking at. What was it you said? 2,200 square feet downtown, $1.4 million. Not a lot of buyers going to do that.
Yeah, and I've been in that unit. They had a little function there a few months ago, and it's got nice views, but it's half block off, really, off of Main Street. And it hasn't sold. It's been there on the market for a little while. But
well,
it will
because
sell.
Of what you said, yeah. Scarcity of buyers.
Well, think about just the taxes. So if you do $1,000 per, I mean, you're talking about a $13,000 tax bill for your primary residence,
yes.
Right?
And if you buy it as a rental, how big would the tax bill be?
No, triple that, whatever that is.
30 grand.
Yeah.
Maybe 40.
Mm. That's right. So
that's insane.
That there's not that segment of the market. We typically think of the high end of the market above 600, or I do.
Yeah.
Some of my Augusta Road friends would think that's a little low for the high end of the market,
sure.
And certainly downtown.
Well, and in Jim's situation that sent the text in, what we really need to do is
need
what
a
you
more
call
information.
Well, but what you call a right price
analysis,
right? And so one of the things that Keith does for us. Quite often is somebody will ask that question. And if, Jim, if you'll just email JD at askjd@countybankmortgage.com and just give us your address, Keith can do some research and JD can do some research together and give you some idea of what they think about that.
And or a path forward, right?
Yes.
Because it may, in fact, be something that's not being utilized in its highest and best use. Right?
Correct,
so
yep.
We'll be glad to look at that.
Yep, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Yeah, shoot us that email there, and we'll be glad to maybe do a little research and provide some additional information for sure. So, and now, Chris, I think you got another. We got another text.
Yeah, we do. We got another good text question. It says, if somebody's buying a second home that may even possibly be used as a rental part-time, is there an amount of money for your income that should be looking to spend? Oh, okay. So let's talk about second home first. To qualify as a second home, the buyer has to have access to the property at all times. I can't remember.
Exclusive.
Exclusive use is the Fannie Mae definition of the property. And so that's where you get into the weeds a little bit.
And
so,
with that, preferred rates, what
yeah,
we're talking about
a,
is...
You get the same rate that you would get on a conventional
primary residence,
maybe a little more hit if you go over certain LTVs, but it is preferred, right, JD?
That's correct, yeah. So, and then on investment properties, you know, depending on the loan-to-value and score, et cetera, you're going to pay... you know, upwards of 0.5% higher. So, you know, most people are trying to buy homes as a second home if it's not a primary. And it just depends on the definition and what the true use of the property is.
Yeah, and so what happens in this situation is there was some changes in the government guidelines that said you can have some income from that second home. However, you cannot use it to qualify. And so I think that's where you split hairs. And there are plenty of companies out there that will say, hey, let's call it a second home and move forward. And my warning is be careful not to commit mortgage fraud by trying to save $9.28 or $89.29, because I can tell you the number one type of fraud out there is occupancy fraud. And most of the investors will go out and pull reports to see whose name are the taxes in, whose name are the utilities in.
Is it rented?
You know, and so they look for that. So just be careful. Don't try to save a half a point in interest and wind up in jail.
And not only that, Chris, you need to look at how the Internal Revenue Service treats your use of the property. So
yes,
that's always a big question when someone wants to buy a beach house
yes.
as an investment or a second home.
Yeah,
and the lines get blurred.
That's right.
There are only X number of days that you can occupy the property if you're using it as a rental property.
That's right.
In terms of tax treatment.
And so you got to be careful about managing those three. A best example I can give you of a second home is, let's say you have a second home up in Clemson on the lake, and four times a year you rent it out for the weekend for a Clemson football game. You know, that's not an investment property. That is truly a second home because you have exclusive access except for those four little weekends, the utilities in there. That's going to be classified as a second home. But if you're buying your first investment property and trying to call it a second home to save a little money, I would say don't do that because it's just not worth the risk. Number one, the note can be called. And number two, occupancy fraud is the number one type of fraud, and that's what the investors look for.
Yeah, and to answer their question, you know, they asked about, you know, what percentage of amount of money should your income have, you know, as far as a budgetary, it sounds like maybe they were asking. And, you know, the guidelines are going to be exactly the same. Typically, they're going to want no more than 45% of your gross income to be the mortgage.
Gross income being
the mortgage you have now, the new mortgage that you would have, plus any debts that you would have on a monthly basis, credit cards, automobiles, et cetera. And as long as if you make $10,000 a month, $4,500 is that number. And if all your bills add up to $4,500 or less, you'll most likely qualify.
Absolutely. And if they want to get specific information, customized information about their deal, what do they do?
Yep. Just email me at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. So listen, guys, we're going to head into our final break. We got some more text questions that we're going to hit. Appreciate all our listeners and texters out there. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this. Yep, last segment of the show, House Plans here. JD and Chris, County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Appreciate all our texters and phone callers today. We've been a good show so far. We got about 10, 12 minutes left. And, Chris, I believe we got a couple more text questions here that we can tackle.
All right, we've got a new term I've never heard of.
Me too.
A barn demonium.
Yep.
So Sounds like a band I used to listen to back in the 80s.
So, you know, that would be a barn downstairs.
Condominium.
And a condominium upstairs.
That's right.
And so the first thing I would say is somewhat of a unique property in our market.
Right.
And that the challenge would most likely be appraisal, you know, because you always have to find properties, compare it to. You know, we talked, or at least I know JD and I talked about, you know, a real estate agent called me last week and said, excuse me, an appraiser, and said, hey, I've got this property with this beautiful view. The problem is the front side is visible. All the other sides and the roof are covered with dirt. So it's an in-ground home. You know, what's the chances of financing it? I said slim and none unless you do it through a local bank
right.
on a portfolio loan with probably 50% down, because you're never going to find comps. You know, his concern was this property, based on the appraisal rules, will have no above ground square footage. Zero.
Yeah, how about that?
And so, you know, it was a great conversation. An architect built it. He said it has beautiful views, But I would say the Barn Demonium is the same thing in our present market. It's all about finding comps and how does that property fit in with the neighborhood. And so it would most likely need to be a highly qualified buyer with a large cash down payment,
yep,
or a portfolio loan where you were putting 50% down and, you know, you basically could qualify on a note.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
the bank would be willing to loan you money on it. But we'd be happy to take a look at it because we do those.
Sure.
I mean,
now it's interesting because you guys always look at the money and I always look at the
property.
The property and its value and the ability to resell it. Now, the conversation immediately, I'm going to give you some, I usually cut right to the chase to give the net advice, and which you really need more information to elaborate on, but I will make a couple of quick comments. Number one, if you're going to live in it yourself as a primary residence, obviously, you, if it's a barn, you've probably got horses and you're going to need a little bit of land to put it on, right? So here's what I would say. You want to, if you're going to build the condominium upstairs or living quarters upstairs, I would say make it the fit and finish at the low end of the market.
Sure.
So that you can rent it out. And if you're going to live in it yourself, you probably, your instincts will be to do just the opposite.
Yeah.
To make it luxury,
yes,
high quality.
And that will not help
you. And that, in the long run, that would probably be a mistake for,
yep,
a variety of reasons. Number one, your situation will probably change. Number two, if you're going to rent it out, you're going to want the numbers to work. Eventually, you will want to.
Yep.
And so don't finish it with high quality finishings. Make it rentable. And then if you really want some advice, just don't do it. Okay.
Well, the second part of the question is, what about, you know, steel siding, steel roof, steel post and beam? And the answer is the same. It's not going to necessarily conform to the market. And if you are going to do it, plan on renting it later. It's probably going to be difficult to sell. We got quite a few questions for the last 10 minutes, guys. So I'm going to kind of roll through them here pretty quick. This question is, when a house and property is sold as is, is the full extent of the disclosure law still applicable? And so, you know, number one, whether it's being sold as is or not, the seller still has to do the South Carolina seller's disclosure, correct, Keith?
They do. But I think the as is clause would be a defense for the seller. Now, the as is clause gives you typically the right to inspect and do your due diligence.
Sure.
But if you discover a defect after you close and you bought the property as is, that's probably, I got to be careful. I don't want to give legal advice, right?
Right.
But typically, I would think that the disclosure in the as is clause would be a good defense for the seller.
But I would think still, if you know something, you should disclose it.
Oh, yes.
You should disclose it.
Full disclosure on
the seller's side. Full disclosure, and then the buyer can make up their mind whether they want to move forward or not.
But and the law says on the disclosure side that not only if you – I think it says if they – they may have changed this.
If you've known, but you should have known.
Or you should have known.
Yeah.
Known or should have known. But I think they've just modified that this last year. I'll have to study up on that.
Yeah, so our next one is my house that I purchased, the backyard is sloped gently. The house is located in Marietta now, regrading and in level with the yard with, let's see, retaining wall. Would that increase the value of the house?
Short answer is yes.
Yeah, it sounds like it would, that type of improvement. Now, probably not dollar for dollar.
Depends on,
you know, retaining walls are a tricky thing. You could do concrete block and put brick in front of it. You could do brick. You could do decorative block. You could do boulders. You know, you can spend as much money as you want on a retaining wall. But generally, the most attractive, least expensive way to do it is to put up concrete block, then face it with brick. You know, get the oldest, cheapest brick, or not oldest, but the cheapest brick you can find, and then maybe paint it or something
like
that.
Don't forget to put, you're going to have hydrostatic pressure behind the wall, so make sure that the water that builds up behind the wall can seep out, can get out. But basically what you're doing is you're creating more usable space in your backyard,
yes,
for the next home buyer. And even if it doesn't return a significant amount of return on investment, it will reduce your days on the market.
Yeah,
when
help
you
get it sell faster
sell.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Hey, I'm thinking about building a second home but plan to sell my primary. Would like to live in until the second home is done. From a loan perspective, how is that handled? Current home worth 287-ish, new home 330-ish.
That's very standard, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So like on a construction, anytime you're building a new primary residence, I mean, obviously you're going to have the house you're currently living in. Very standard for, you know, someone to want to stay in their current home until...
Move once,
yeah, that's right. And so that type of situation, the construction loan is going to be handled as your primary. And when you close on a permanent loan, assuming you're doing a two-time close, the new loan is going to be considered your primary as well.
Yep.
You know, I mean, as I say, the truth will set you free.
Yep.
That's exactly what you're planning to do, and that's how it would be handled on the loan side.
And what you have to look at is what and when are you going to move in? If you told me that you were going to build it and then move in 2 years from now, then I would say, well, you're building a second home, which you can do.
Which
you
is fine. Still, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're going to build it, move in, then put your other house on the market, that construction loan would be treated as primary.
Yeah.
And so you would get primary products, primary rates. And as we spoke about earlier, while construction of a second home is slightly different than construction of a primary, the rates and so forth are so close. Generally, if it's a true second home, it wouldn't matter. So if you came to us and said, look, you know, I live in downtown Greenville. I want to build a property on the lake. It's going to be my second home. Now, you know, 10 years from now, we would treat that as a second home. But the scenario described here, JD, if they came to you, you're going to treat it as a primary.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and you would be fine. And the price point in that situation, really, I know one's worth 287, another 330, wouldn't make a difference.
Not to us.
Yeah,
not an unusual circumstance.
No,
absolutely not. And you know, we would treat it as a primary as long as you were planning on moving into it at the end. I think the question becomes then, you know, what about the assets? What about the income? Can you qualify with both? And so you just want to check that out. And in most cases, what we find is the answer is yes, people can qualify with both payments because you're going to have to do that going into it.
Yep.
The other thing that we find is we've had people do that, then sell the primary they were living in and then take part of that money and put it down on that construction loan. So they may borrow $400,000 for the construction loan, but at the end, they may only modify a $300,000 loan. And that's one of the beauties. What you got to figure out now is, do you want a two-time close? Do you want to do a separate construction loan? Or do you want a one-time close construction? And you can also get that information by sending an email to JD.
Yeah, and that's one of the features that we offer on pretty much all of our products. The fixed rate products that we do is what's called a recast option. And what it allows you to do, like in that situation, if someone qualifies to buy another house without selling their current home, and they may have a lot of equity in the home that they're living in now, they can go ahead and close, put as little as maybe 5% down. We can do the loan. Let's just say the balance is $300,000. If they clear $200,000 on their current home, they can put that money down on the loan immediately following after they sell, be it 6 months into the new loan or whatever the time period is, and we will recast that payment down to whatever the remaining term and interest rate is at the same rate, and basically they just pay a processing fee of $150 or $200.
Could I lock my interest rate in today?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in the scenario where interest rates are right now, you typically would be a half point above that to lock it in on the
construction
for the permanent mortgage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, but in that situation, it's more along the lines of, hey, go ahead and buy now. Put a little bit of money down. When you sell your current home, you've got this lump sum. So instead of having to put the lump sum down and refinance the balance to lower that payment down, you can do the recast, which is only going to cost you $150 or $200, and then they'll lower
today,
that payment down to whatever.
In today's environment, it reduces your interest rate risk. Because
the rate would stay the same. Yeah, so it works
that's
out
sweet.
Works out great. It's a sweet deal. No,
you know, one of
it.
The things, too, that you provided, Keith, and I think we'll save some of this for next week's show, but is the annual Port of South Carolina market. Yep. And so it gives you some comparisons of market-by-market increases and things of that nature. And one of the things I noticed on here that would be a great topic next week is the inventory of homes from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 statewide. And it's a gentle downward-sloping number.
Yeah. Wow.
And we really thought that would start to turn.
Yep, very sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very sad.
And then, of course, one of the good things is the number of closed sales is a sloping up and the median is a sloping up. But
a return
now, Keith,
to normalcy.
What is this Piedmont market that it's talking about? Is that a separate MLS or is it talking about Piedmont proper?
No, I don't think that's our Piedmont. I think that's somewhere else.
That's a different MLS in the state. Okay, so we'll do a little research on that. But this is a great report talking about what's been
going
on.
Annual comprehensive report.
Yeah. South Carolina, from the South Carolina Realtors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of consolidates everything, tells you top markets, bottom markets. I mean, we don't need a report to tell us that. We know we're the best.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, listen, we appreciate all our listeners, texters today. You've been listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back next week here on House Plans. If you'd like to catch us during the week, you can call us at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. Or shoot me an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Y'all have a great week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.